Welcome back to the Book Show. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jack.
We're talking about books, and specifically we're talking to R.L. Stine, best-selling children's author. And I wanted to talk to him about some of his contemporary writing. I actually have, R.L., I have The Nightmare Hour right in front of me, in fact. And I think it's a New York Times best-selling book, or it was. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm very happy about that. I've made it for about 4 or 5 weeks.
And I compared it because I also read one of your Nightmare Room books. I read Visitors. I think it's number 12 or number 9 in your series. I can't remember.
Right.
And the Nightmare Room story was a long, it was about 80 pages or so.
Yeah. Well, that's what I call a novel.
A novel, okay. It's children's novel?
Yes. Yeah, it's a middle grade novel.
Right.
They're about 120 pages.
Right. I'm trying to find commonalities. Yeah. The Nightmare Hour is a collection of shorter...
Short stories.
Uh-huh. And you call it, quote-unquote, these are my scariest stories ever.
Until the next book.
Until
there you go.
Until the next book.
Then I did The Haunting Hour.
Right.
Which is out, and that was 10 more really scary stories.
Really scary stories.
Right.
There's a theme, good versus evil. I mean, in the very first book in The Nightmare Hour, there's a really evil owner of land who has pumpkins on his property, and he warns these children not to go into a particular part of the pumpkin patch. And of course, the children do go to that part of the pumpkin patch. And you know what I found so wonderful? Evil won. These kids, you know, got their heads.
I have to have some fun, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. Good versus evil. So often, good wins. And
if you look at the stories, you'll see they're pretty well balanced. About half of them evil wins,
right?
And half of them the kids win.
Right.
Well, Alex,
I don't think kids would like it if evil always won.
Right.
I used to do this teen series called Fear Street, and it was teens in terror. But they all had happy endings, and I got kind of tired of it. And once I wrote a book that had an unhappy ending. It was a novel where the good girl lost, and I got furious mail from my readers. Furious.
Really?
Dear R.L., you idiot. Oh. How could you do that? Dear R.L., you moron, are you going to write a sequel to fix that? They didn't like unhappy endings.
Well, in the Nightmare Room book, I keep getting confused, Nightmare Hour, Nightmare Room, in the Nightmare Room book, which is your series, the character, it was called Aliens, that was the name of the book, and this child... did not know at the time that he was an alien.
That's the big surprise ending.
Yeah, it is a surprise ending. but it seems like in a novel, of course, you can develop other themes. And to me, it was about this child who found out that he was different than everyone else. And he turned that into a positive. He said, I may be different, but I'm going to do some good by it. And he helped save everybody by... eating the worst alien of all, I guess, the leader alien. And
right.
I don't know. I mean, do you develop themes?
I don't really try to do that. I try to do these books to be entertainment for kids.
Right.
And to get kids reading. And to show kids that they don't need television, they don't need video games, that they can turn to books and just be entertained. And that's really what I try to do with these books. But they do, Al, have one theme. And if you read a lot of them, you notice that the kids are pretty much on their own in these stories.
Right.
They don't get much help. If they go to their parents and tell them what horrible thing is going on, the parents either don't believe them or they don't really hear them. The parents don't play much of a role. And what happens is that the kids have to use their own ingenuity and their own intelligence and their own wits to conquer whatever the evil is. And that's what the theme is.
I see.
That kids can, triumph, to show kids that they can have some kind of mastery.
Right.
Yeah, stand up on their own 2 feet.
Where do you get the ideas for your books?
Yeah, Now that I don't know. I don't know where they come from. Usually they come from a title. I think I work backwards from most authors. I usually think of a title first, and then that leads me to an idea for the story.
Well, let me ask you something.
I was walking the dog in the park one afternoon.
Right.
And his title popped into my head, Dear Diary, I'm Dead. It just popped into my head, and I thought, what a perfect title for a Nightmare Room book. What would that be? And then I started thinking about, well, what if a boy had to write a diary for school, had to keep a journal for school, and what if he got one, but it already had an entry in it? And that, you know, that kind of thinking.
Right.
So a lot of my books start with titles. I think most authors get an idea first and then later think of a title.
Interesting. There was a trilogy in the Nightmare Room series, I think. Mm-hmm. You call it a thrilogy. Right. And yeah. I plead guilty here. This is kind of a confession. I was at Barnes & Noble, and I did buy two books, but I have to admit I skimmed a couple while I was there, too.
Uh-huh.
And I skimmed parts of the trilogy when I was there, and it seemed like you may have gotten the idea from the Survivor series.
Well, we tried to do a little, you know, Survivor with kids.
Right.
You know, on an island.
Right.
With the occult, because there's also a witch on the island.
Right.
So, yeah, I was trying to do that. I try to use as much pop culture as I can.
Right,
you know?
No, that's smart.
It attracts kids.
Seems to go way back to when you're young and you're kind of trying to come up with ideas to scare your brother in the evenings, and you'd go out to the movies and watch the horror movies.
Right.
And see what's going on in today's culture and go back and scare the daylights out of them.
That's right. When we first started doing Goosebumps, I said, well, how many can we do? There are only six plots. I said, there are only six stories. And then I ended up writing 87 Goosebumps books.
87? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there were that many.
Yes, that's a lot of books for a human, isn't it?
Yes, well, it is.
Aren't you in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Yeah, I am. I've got very lucky with Goosebumps. I'm in there for having the all-time best-selling kid series in history.
In history. How many?
Oh, I'm seeing it's going to sound like I'm bragging.
No, that's all right.
We sold about 300 million.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Believe me, no one's more amazed than me.
And they were all typed with one finger.
That's right. I have one typing finger.
One typing
That's
finger.
It. I never learned how to type. I wrote all these books with one finger.
You are
if
on a computer, though.
If the finger goes, that's the career.
You're on a computer now, though, aren't you?
Oh, of course.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you're still on that typewriter or not.
No, that would be a problem.
Yes.
Now, what are the age groups that you're looking at for Goosebumps, Nightmare Room, and...
My age group is 7 to 11.
7 to 11. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if I saw that on the book. Is that a marketing thing?
No, I don't know if it's on there or not. It used to be older, you know. It used to be 8 to 12.
Right.
But when you're on Saturday morning TV, you start to get a younger audience. The audience sort of drifts down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, yeah, we get them. That 7 is young, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we get a lot of 7-year-olds.
Well, I look at the cover of the book for Nightmare Hour, and my gosh, you could scare the daylights out of an adult with that cover.
That's a very creepy cover, isn't it?
It sure is. So,
yeah.
Now, did you have a designer do that, or did you have any input there? Or?
Oh, I got to say, boy, that looks great.
Yes, it does.
That's about all the input they want from me.
Okay.
I'm interested in hearing about your television franchise. What do you have going on right now?
Not much right now. Right now I'm sort of at a transitional period, and I'm trying to think up some new ideas of what I want to do next. We just had the Nightmare Room show on, which I was very pleased with. Any TV show for kids that doesn't talk down to them and mm-hmm. just tells a good, quiet story and isn't just shouting, and I thought they did a very nice job with it. We're going to bring those out on DVD and video for Halloween.
Excellent.
Nightmare Rooms. So that was good. That was fun. My wife and I were both executive producers of the show, which mainly meant that we got to read the scripts and make a lot of comments. My job, you know, my books are, they're not really horror. They're not really terrifying. They're sort of a combination of humor and horror. They're more of a tease. And because I don't really want to scare kids.
Right.
So there's that balance, and that's pretty much on the TV show. I would read the scripts and work hard to make sure that the TV shows had that same balance of humor and horror.
the writing process that you go through, let's say you formulated an idea, are you an early morning writer or a late night guy?
Oh, I'm pretty much a machine. I treat it like a full-time job. And I write from about 9:30 in the morning till 3:30, 4 in the. I set a goal for myself every day. I'm going to write 15 pages today, or today I'm going to write 20 pages, and then I don't get up till I've done it.
That's good. I have some discipline.
You know what I find.
The reason I'll tell you why I can write. If you say that you have writers listening, one of the secrets to writing so fast is that I do a very complete chapter by chapter outline of every book. Before I write it, I start at the beginning, yes. I used to hate outlines. Now I can't work without them.
Well, I've heard, one of our producers also is a writer, and his biggest problem right now is he had this whole book outlined in his mind, and he started writing it, and he forgot sections of it, and he can't finish his book now because he didn't put it down to pen and paper, the outline.
Yeah, this scares me. That's a scary story to me. I would. I have to know where I'm ending, where it's going. I usually have to have the ending first. Mm-hmm. I have to know the ending, and I have to have it all down. And I do maybe, a 15 to 20 page outline of a 120 page book. And that's all the thinking.
Right, and then you have the meat to it.
All the action is in my outline, all the chapter endings. And when I sit down to write, I've done all the work, and then I can just enjoy the writing.
Right. What I find challenging is trying to get inside, I guess, the head of a 7 to 11-year-old, and how am I going to write something? How am I going to be sure that this is actually going to...
Yeah, this is the hard part.
...be written on the level
all
of
all the characters are 12 years old in my book.
Right.
They're all 12.
Right.
Unless they have younger brothers or sisters or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is what I work hardest at, because those kids in my books have to be real. Kids have to believe in them. They have to recognize them. And not say, oh, this is some old guy who's trying to write kids, or these kids sound as if they come from Mars or something.
Well, do you ever go to the park, let's say, and watch kids and get some ideas?
In my raincoat, yes. I go to the playground. I spend a lot of time with... I was lucky because my son was the right age for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I could, so then he would have his friends over, and I could spend time with them, or I could spy on Maddie and his friends and see what they wore, because I had to be just right on what the clothing was, and listen to them and hear about what expressions they use and the way they talk. And now I have nephews who are the right age and a niece, and I spend a lot of time. Also, I visit schools a lot. I take this part of it very seriously.
Right.
And I go to schools and I talk to kids. I try to visit at least two or three schools every month.
Well, do you go to school and actually do readings from your book?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I do like a half-hour talk and tell them about writing, and I read to them, and I answer their questions, and, that's the fun part.
No, it sure is. I go to the local elementary school, and I do readings, what do they call it, mystery readers.
Uh-huh.
And come in, and I read these books to the kids, and it's just a blast. I have it's a fun time.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's great.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, R.L., because we have authors, we know of authors, who are trying to launch their writing careers, and some of them have, I think, the misperception that you can write something and then just publish it and sit back and wait for things to happen. And even at...
That would be a long wait.
Well, you're exactly right. And what amazes me is even at the point you are in your career, you've already been very successful, you still take the time to go to these schools and read your books. And that's something that, authors are just starting out.
You have to get out there. You have to. You cannot, for one thing, especially starting out, you cannot rely on the publisher to do any publicity for you of any kind. They'll send it out, but you've got to get out there and really work on making people realize and notice that you have a book out there.
Right.
And I still have to do that. And I love it, but I still have to tour. I did a 10-city book tour last fall, where I visited schools in all 10 cities and then appeared at malls. And
doing book signings at all?
Yes, these were signings.
Okay.
It's in the 10 cities. Just to let people know, I've got a new book series there and a new TV series.
Yeah, please.
Otherwise, you have to do it. You can't just sit around. It doesn't work.
Do you have a new book, anything new coming out you want to talk about and spread the word about?
In the summer, I have a wonderful book that I'm very proud of. coming out. It's called Beware, and it's a big hardcover treasury. And it's R.L. Stein picks his favorite scary stories. And it's filled with all the people that I love. And I just picked out all the stuff that I like. And I wrote a few stories for it, too. But it has Ray Bradbury and Shel Silverstein and Roald Dahl. And just I even slipped in an EC horror comic. And I got Jack Davis from Mad Magazine to do some illustrations. And it's a wonderful book. I'm just very proud of it. And it's going to come out late this summer.
And who's publishing it for you?
It's HarperCollins.
Okay.
It's called Beware.
I'm curious, R.L. I was hesitating to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it.
Yes.
And I noticed J.K. Rowling. Her name is, she has J.K.
Right.
You're R.L.
Yes.
Now, a question is, did you want to be R.L. to the public, and if so, why? Or did your publisher tell you that you should be R.L.?
No, it was my idea, but what happened was, as I said before, I had been Jovial Bob Stein my whole career. And then suddenly I was going to be writing scary books, and I thought, well, that's not too appropriate.
That's true.
Jovial Bob, how scary is that, right?
You're right.
So I just decided, well, okay, I'll use my initials.
So, it came down to marketing, right?
No, it came down to me thinking, well, what name should I use? I can't use that name.
You couldn't use the name that was the humor.
And I didn't
name.
Want to, Bob Stein. Everyone in the world calls me Bob. No one ever,
Right.
But that doesn't sound good. So I just said, okay, I'll use my initials.
Initials.
And that was it.
All right, one other question.
Yes.
You have a lot of aliens in your books and beings from other planets and places. Do you yourself believe in ghosts?
Not really.
Not really. How about aliens?
No, but I'm very intrigued. No, I don't believe in any of it. But but I have an open mind. But I find it very intriguing, and I find that it makes for great stories. And I think people every age, everybody loves a good scary story.
Right.
But I don't necessarily. I have no experience. I've never met a ghost or anything.
If you had one piece of advice to give an author or
aspiring
writer,
author,
who's trying to make it, what would that be?
The advice would be pick your audience and get to know the audience. Don't write what's in your heart, but write for an audience. Figure out who you want to write for and who you want to reach, and really learn that audience.
Excellent. Now, I got a quick question for you. Are you going to be at Book Expo? Is it next week or the week after?
I'm going to be there. Yes, I am.
May 2nd, 3rd. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, I think.
We'd like to...
I'm there Friday morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be signing Friday morning from 10 to 11
okay.
at Book Expo.
Well, why don't you drop by, and we're going to be there, too. The book show's broadcasting live, actually, from Book Expo America.
We're going to be there Saturday, though, broadcasting.
Yeah, broadcasting.
Oh, yeah?
I might
be there Saturday, too. I don't really know what my schedule is. I just know I'm autographing Friday.
We'll have to look for you.
Yeah.
We'll be there Friday also.
Okay.
I hope
you can come by, then.
Yeah, we'll be based at the E-Novel booth, one of our sponsors.
Yeah, and I'll give them the number.
Yeah.
Can you write this down, R.L.?
Well, yeah.
It's number 3587.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
It's along the back wall.
Yeah, it's an E-Novel booth.
Okay, I'll look for you guys.
Yeah, we'd like to meet you.
Meet you and shake hands and maybe snap a couple pictures and throw it up on the website.
Yeah.
Excellent.
R.L., thank you very,
thank
very
you.
Much.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
For joining
Thanks
us.
So much.
All
okay.
right, take Bye-bye. Care.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our new sponsor and some other news items. We're talking about books, and we want to talk with you. Give us a call at 788-0990. This is WLEE Hot Talk 990. We'll be right back.